like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
All right, Angel, I got good news. I got bad news and I got good news for you. The bad news is that according to the SEC media poll, Georgia is the clear favorite to win the SEC once again, according to the conference media poll. Picking them to win it, maybe even win it all. But here's the good news. In the 31-year history of the poll, only 9 times has the media correctly predicted the champion of the conference. So there you go. You're
good
fine.
Good news, bad news.
Don't worry about it.
Indifferent to me.
Don't worry about it.
Whatever those puppies think they're going to do, they can do it.
I can't believe the question around Nick Saban is if they don't do something this year, is that hurting his legacy? Does it remove... If they don't make the college football playoffs this year, does that remove all of his championships and all of his other national championship appearances and playoff appearances and all that? Does that get rid of that?
According to Paul Feinbaum, it does.
I don't understand that take.
It's a Paul take. It's a take he needs to get his interactions in the next couple of weeks. And he says it, so Lane Kiffin will comment on it, and Saban will comment on it. And yeah.
Well,
it's just, it's dumb. You'll never learn not to poke the bear because, you know, no, that bear's sleeping this time for sure. You can definitely go poke him.
Well,
come on.
Tennessee's trying to poke some bears, too. The players that were at SEC Media Days on Thursday were pretty vocal about their goals for the 2023 season. They won 11 games for the first time in more than 2 decades last year. The goal is to win the SEC's Eastern Division, which would mean unseating 2-time defending national champs in Georgia.
Yeah, worry about them first.
Yeah. That first year, we hope to win. Now we expect to win every game. Amari Thomas, the senior defensive tackle, said, "There's a difference." Good. That's a good thing. You should want to win your championships.
It's almost cute.
You're not worried about
Tennessee?
Yeah.
No.
You're not worried about them?
No, because I saw the same thing in 2019 LSU, and then the next year they were awful.
The SEC is just getting intense right now, even more than it already was.
Well, because they think there's a power vacuum right now.
Yeah.
No, the vacuum just hasn't been turned on yet.
George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, is talking not about their TV deal. We don't have that information. But he was asked about concern over the Big 12 trying to poach any teams from him, which is happening. You know,
rumored about CU, Arizona, possibly one of the Utah schools.
Uh-huh. We're hearing it anyway. He said, "It's not a concern. Our schools are committed to each other and the Pac-12. We'll get our media rights deal done. We'll announce the deal. I think the realignment that's going on in college athletics will come to an end for this cycle." But that's not how Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, sees things. He said, we're always looking to add new teams. Well, that would kind of be a poaching type thing then if you did add new teams.
It doesn't really feel like the Pac-12 has leverage here.
No.
Saying like, no, our teams are committed.
No, they love us here.
You know, even CU's president saying, no, we're committed to the Pac-12. We want to be here. It's posturing.
Yeah.
The TV deal comes in, we won't have a final on the Pac-12 until that is finalized.
So he was asked, Kliavkoff was asked, like, hey, this is what the Big 12 commissioner is saying. He's been very outspoken about adding more teams to the conference. Kliavkoff responded with this: "I discount that because I know the truth. I could have spent all of last year getting into a he said, he said on every single rumor that's been passed about our conference. We decided to take the high road and focus on the future of the conference. That's why we haven't engaged."
Are you sensing a bit of arrogance?
They must have a heck of a TV deal coming up.
It better be amazing.
They must have something.
It better be the highest quality picture and best commentary play-by-play ever.
They're on the easiest.
I want instant replays instantly.
They're in the easy on the easiest network to find. All that
free
money is coming in, left hand over fist. I'm just like, I'm waiting, man. I'm at the edge of my seat waiting to see what this actual deal is going to look like. It's just...
Well, you're setting the expectations up now.
It's a mix of streaming and linear options is all we know. But when I hear streaming
first...
But it's
not one of the big three broadcasting networks.
I don't think so.
We would have known about it.
Well, there's no room. Mm-mm. Is there any room? I mean, it sounds like it's going to be like 80% streaming. I don't know. Maybe that's too high of a percentage. Sounds like the streaming... The source that leaked, gave this information, whatever, started with it's a mix of streaming and linear options. Streaming first. It's going to be Apple TV.
It's interesting just because, you know, we talked about it with the CW. They only have like 40-something games.
Yeah.
So what games are those that are on streaming? Are those the better games, the more, you know, anticipated, highly ranked matchups? Or are those the throwaway, you know, Arizona State and Stanford games at 3:30 in the afternoon?
I'd imagine you'd want to put your big ones on the local channel.
We talked about it yesterday. Are you going to pay extra to watch a big-time game?
Yeah, that's what makes this conversation so truly interesting. NFL news. We got Aaron Rodgers watch already. Is he coming back in 2024?
Eating mushrooms again? What's he doing?
So Jets said they would be shocked if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in 2024. Saleh said... Robert Saleh, the head coach for the Jets, said, I don't want to back him into a corner and make him commit to something like that. I just want him to have fun and know that when he walks in the building, to let loose and have a little bit of fun. BS with the guys, come in the office, come talk to us, and just enjoy playing football. Odds are, if you enjoy playing football, you're going to want to keep doing it. I wouldn't put pressure on him to commit to something like that anyway, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't play multiple years. He looks like a little kid out there.
That feels very eerily similar to last year.
It's the same thing with the Packers.
No, just come on, have some fun, Aaron. We're just going to, you can hang out, chill in the office if you want. We're going to have fun. Not, I want you to be the leader of my football team and take us to the playoffs and win us some games.
Well, that's why we got you. Why else would we do this and trade and make this deal if we didn't think you were going to, we want
Aaron, he's just kicking back in the office. He's just hanging out in there. What's up, Aaron?
The power that man has.
For
the money he's making, the trade that it warranted, and now you're still kind of like, you going to come back? You're going to come back, right?
Look how much fun you're having, Aaron. Come on.
You'll be back, Rodgers. You'll love it. You love it here. New York-style pizza, it's great.
Only thing is I don't think they're going to sign him to a big contract first.
Yeah.
They're not going to make that mistake.
Yeah, don't. Well, he's already got his contract. It's already, he's set, man. I got a weird feeling he's not going to be back.
How much of that was Hackett wearing off on Saleh with his attitude?
Oh, yeah, probably.
I don't think Saleh doesn't come off, as the fun-loving guy.
Hackett's like rubbing Rodgers' shoulders, you know? He's like, you'll be fine, man. You're having fun.
Remember,
just like our days in Green Bay. You remember those days, man. It's going to be even more fun. It's going to be more fun than that. What a ride. He's going to be 40 in December. Can you see him really playing beyond this season?
I've seen Aaron Rodgers do some great things. I've also seen him get hurt in weird ways. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but he is older.
Yeah, he did say...
And the Jets O-line ain't that good.
He said, you've got a good window. It's not just a one-year thing where you can be competitive, which is fun, keyword, again.
They're having
fun over there, I'm telling you that. Oh, no, I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, rooting. I said the bad word again. Brady, does that mean you hate the Broncos and you're not a Broncos fan?
You're a Nathaniel Hackett sympathizer.
It's a fun show. It's an entertaining show.
Are you rooting for Hackett?
Sure.
Oh, so you don't like Sean Payton?
Yeah. Again, if it doesn't impact the Broncos, then I'm rooting for the storyline. I want the Broncos to make the playoffs. So if the Jets winning some games at the end of the season is going to be a difference maker between the Broncos, then I'm not rooting for Aaron Rodgers. But it's a fun show. It's an entertaining show. And if it's a disaster, that will be an entertaining show as well. It is what it is when it comes to this stuff. I mean, I'm having fun with this whole CSU-CU thing. And it is. It's sports at the end of the day. But man, some of you guys... are good. Brian says, I see you don't really understand what it means to beat your hated rival. It means something, no matter what their record is.
Yes. We're not disagreeing with that.
Well, maybe not, because on my tweet I said, if you beat them when they're good, it'll actually mean something. But what I'm talking about
base,
is like
that beating your rival means something, that you beat your rival. Yes, that does mean something, regardless of record, program, success, whatever.
Yeah.
But it elevates when the pressure is on. When your opponent is clearly better than you or a step ahead of you and you can take them down, that elevates you.
Yes, that's the point of the whole thing. And maybe I should have reworded it and not said it'll actually mean something.
Well, you put like 3 tweets out in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Dude, I think you were just on a little Twitter frenzy.
I was.
You're just letting all your thoughts from the day out, and that was the last one.
That was the one. Apparently people just latched onto it, and it's bad. Kevin says, I completely get what Brady is trying to say here and agree with his take. Thank you. I do, however, think it's a short-sighted view. If the Rams win 7 games this year, does it matter at the end of the season if we beat an 0-2 CU team or a 2-0 CU team? Does that make the difference between the Idaho Bowl or anything like that? Not like wins and losses-wise, I guess, but wouldn't you rather at the end of the season beat a good, say you were one of the only teams to beat a good CU team? Or that means nothing to you guys? Oh, you beat a crappy CU team? That's what does it for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not
because,
saying that it's not
because
good.
Here's the thing. If you try to go to CU fans, say, we beat you last year, and say, we weren't good last year, so
good.
You should have.
Yeah, you should have beat
that
us.
That gives you no ammunition for your trash talk. We all love the sports trash talk, and it's only good when both teams are good.
It's better when it's just better.
No one wants to talk bad about bad teams.
I just, at the end of the day, I get the rivalry. You guys don't think I understand the rivalry. I've been doing this radio show for a damn long time. I know the rivalry. I get it. I'm just telling you how to make this rivalry better than just for the, few people in Fort Collins and Boulder that think it's the Super Bowl.
Well, it's so exciting for both programs. Why can't we just, you can't root for both programs to have success and that they're competitive against each other? I get they're not the same conference and their head-to-head doesn't really matter in terms of the end of the season, but when we get to the playoff discussion, if CU is going to be in that discussion, the game against CU is going to matter if CSU wins.
It just matters.
And guess what,
CSU,
if you don't win that game, it's all right because it doesn't matter because you can go still win the Mountain West.
Yeah, what if you lose to CU and CU is terrible the rest of the year? Then you're going to be like, damn, we're a bad team too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... I'm just trying to help you guys. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm not saying I don't love the Rocky Mountain Showdown or whatever. I love it.
It's great.
I want more people to love it.
One of those college football rivalries.
People come to me, that aren't fans of either school, and they're like, "Yeah, it's the Who Cares Bowl." I mean, I remember Bleacher Report came out with that story. It's the annual. It's one of those Who Cares games. CU and CSU. Don't you kind of want some respect on that game? Some respect on that game?
Any respect for any football team in this state would be appreciated.
Well, and I'm
sorry,
because
remind me the last winning team this state has seen in football.
Well, other than Air Force. Smitty. Watching CU go winless is the secondary goal behind CSU winning every game.
True. We're not saying take away your hatred or your fandom for your team. Just saying that the game itself and the rivalry can always be more intense, more magnified, and that happens when both teams are competitive.
Bruce Dick brought this up and said, let's just hypothetical. Let's say they for some reason played in week 10. They're both 9-0 going in, as opposed to both 0-9. Or you're 9-0 and they're 0-9, whatever. You don't think both 9-0 is a bigger, better game for everyone involved? I mean, we're talking big-time football now.
That is, if it happened that way, that's a potential game day location.
Exactly.
I'm not even kidding.
Colorado's on the freaking map. The state is on the freaking map. But guys like Tanner this morning saying, no, it doesn't matter to me if they were 9-0 and 0-9. Come on, you know it does.
It does.
What we like.
You can say, more eyes would be on it. Obviously more eyes, but more eyes means more money. And that's what this is all about, right? It's money.
Are you more likely to watch, name a bad basketball team, Houston?
Sure.
An NBA team. Nuggets, Rockets on a Wednesday night or Nuggets, Suns on a Wednesday night? What's more appealing to you?
Nuggets, Suns.
There you go. It's just the, if you can, it's just an easy answer, man.
We get like the whole the basis of the rivalry is that it doesn't matter what the records are. That is your rival, and you want to beat them. That is the foundation of it. So when you can elevate that foundation by saying, "Oh, this team's really good. This team's on the up and up," and the up and up team just beat the really good team. So now that up and up team, they're really good. And now they're both really good. And now they're going to play each other next year. And imagine how good that game's going to be.
It. Tanner says I'm looking at it like a robot. I mean, I'm looking at it from a logical standpoint. What would make the game better? What would make the state better? What would be more appealing across the country to recruits, too? Both teams going 9-0 and duke it out. Oh, I want to be a part of that rivalry either way.
Here's a scenario. CSU beats CU this year. They play again next year in Fort Collins. Are you going to want a bunch of CU fans taking over your stadium? Because they're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the thing. Like, so what? You're saying, like, if CSU beats CU, then you're going to have pissed off CU fans coming mm-hmm. down. And
they would come up to Fort Collins because apparently no one goes to the CSU game. So, oh, look at all those seats available for CU fans.
Wow.
We've seen Wyoming fans do the same thing.
Yeah. CSU, I hope it gets better with fans. I mean, we saw it with Moby Madness. People filled that place up, and they were primarily Rams fans there. I've seen some. Listen, when I went to the very first game at Canvas was against Oregon State, and Oregon State wasn't very good that year, but that thing was packed, and they were Rams fans.
The pride is there. I can see it.
It's there. It's just you got to start winning, and I get that. But
and sometimes you got to meet in the middle.
I'm
if
saying
you could meet, if you met in the middle last year, going into this year, you should have so much more confidence in Jay Norvell and his team.
Oh, I think Rams fans are pretty pumped about Jay, and I think they almost kind of like all the attention that Sanders is getting because they're kind of under the radar approaching this offseason or this upcoming season. So I do. I think Rams fans are kind of cool with all that.
And don't you want a little bit of that? You want a little bit of that love? There's not a little bit of part of you that like resents CU because they're getting so much attention?
Like CU goes and beats TCU. National news. 1-0. Prime time's the real deal. Those are the headlines. They go beat their bitter rival in Nebraska. A rivalry renewed.
Playoff bound.
Championship 2-0. Bound. Now they're probably going to go 3-0 because they've got this crappy little CSU team coming up. And then bam. You knock them off. That's bigger. Mm-hmm. As opposed to 0-2, looks like it's not prime time after all, more like a matinee. Mm-hmm. And then you beat them and they're 0-3 and they're like, eh, well, the Buffs suck anyway. Good job. You caught them on a bad year. Smitty says, we drew 28,000 with a 3-win team. Butts in the seats will come with winning. Well, yeah, what does it hold there? What's Canvas Stadium hold? Is it in the, what is it, 37? I mean, I was shocked.
41,000.
41,000? Okay. I mean, yeah, the butts will come with winning. But, hey, Smitty, you and I both remember they weren't a bad team, was it, 5-6 years ago when CSU and Nevada played? And didn't they go to, like, an overtime? It was colder than hell. I get it. But fans were, like, gone. Gonzo. And I've been to many games where at halftime, sparse.
I get that, you know. Winning brings the fans. If you thought that the fans might motivate the team to win more, that if a team goes out there and there's a semi-full state or like the lower bowl is full, that makes them want to play a little harder. Go back to 2020 when they were playing in cardboard cutouts. Tell me how much energy they had in those games.
Yeah, the fan support is big. The energy is big. And
you talk about Moby Madness. That's a huge thing for the basketball team.
Oh, and how exciting was it? And I know I'm not saying root for Wyoming, but you guys know damn well the CSU-Wyoming battles from 2 years ago when it was Hunter Maldonado, Graham EK going up against Roddy and Stevens, wasn't that more memorable than, oh, Wyoming's kind of crappy. We just beat them, but yeah, they weren't very... I was at that game. That was an environment, bro. That was an amazing environment. And both teams were really good, and that game kind of changed the trajectory for both. CSU continued on and pressed on. Wyoming ended up getting to the play-in game, or I guess they're just calling it the tournament now because mm-hmm. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But that game was, like, epic because of the great players that were in it. And I'm not – listen, I know you don't root for Wyoming. I won't go there because that's a conference game. But that was more fun than going up against a 4-win Wyoming team that you knew you were going to probably blow out by 20. That game was intense, man. That was packed at Moby.
It's not a challenge if it doesn't actually challenge you.
That's a whole different discussion. I mean, some people were like, I don't want Miami to win – against Boston because I don't want people to say the Nuggets didn't beat the best. I want them to beat Boston. So that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a part of that, too. You know, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, said it. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And there's something to that. Something to that in the sports world. 25 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephal Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome into the whole show. Welcome back into the whole show. I want to shout out to one of our great sponsors that's on the rocks, Liquor. Pick up our game beer of the week. You guys, there's wine and beer tastings and spirits tastings every single weekend. Get that weekend started off right. This is the last weekend, kind of, without football because Broncos training camp starts next Friday. So we're very excited about that. Looking forward to it. So, make sure you stop out to On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. The Shine Shop will be out there. The Shine Shop was out there last week, excuse me. They've got a great situation set up every single week. If you haven't looked at their tastings and all that, you got to do it, man. They have a wonderful selection of craft beer. They're working with local companies all the time, and it's just, you know, local breweries, you get a lot of that out there. So I'm very big into what they're about, and we've worked with them for so long and just appreciate everything that On the Rocks Liquor is about. They're located half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue in Greeley. 31 minutes after the hour, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com. The Mountain West preseason media poll has the Rams finishing 7th in the conference. Will they be better or worse? Go vote at that on that one at theholeshow.com. Most Rams fans think they're going to be better, and I agree. I do think that they are going to be better. 51% of the hooligans are saying better at this stage. All right, 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Happy hour at Cable's Pub and Grill begins at 3 o'clock every single day. So, you know, today's the one weird day for them where they don't have a big-time special, but it's happy hour. So that means happy hour at 3 o'clock. Take advantage of anything, man. You grab a burger over there. Grab a smothered burrito still. You will not be sad if you go to Cable's Pub and Grill. Trust me on this one. Tomorrow House Margaritas for just $4. Start your weekend off right. Pop by Cable's Pub and Grill. It's 12:35, you know, so we're in the afternoon territory. The weekend is upon us. Might as well kick it off at Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Back on the Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin and his thoughts on the NIL and pay-for-play, saying it's pay-for-play. He said this, "I'm not complaining about it because we take advantage, obviously, of the free agency." But he said, "We've got professional sports here now, except with no salary cap or luxury tax, and the result is a myriad of issues for coaches." Well, that's the interesting thing, is there's no cap. There's no amount that you can bring into your collective, because the collective is an external thing, and it's a business is an external thing.
Yeah, and you know, we've said it with coaches we've talked to about NIL stuff. They're learning this as we are. They're going through these negotiations and recruiting and all kinds of different changes the same pace that we are. They're just seeing it on a day-to-day basis. And so they can be a little more jaded towards it because, yeah, I've seen kids get offered this much money and left my school. Or I've seen a kid transfer to another school because of playing time or whatever. So they've seen it, and they're just speaking out about the truth of it.
Yeah. Now, it's worth noting that Ole Miss was one of the most active teams in the country in the transfer portal. They brought in a lot of different players on that side of things, and they You know, they have an NIL set up there at Ole Miss. They have something like what we saw with the Green and Gold Guard, or what we're seeing with what CSU is doing and what teams across the country are doing. And I guess in Lane Kiffin's, probably from his perspective, it's like, hey, it's, I don't agree with any of it, but it's a necessary evil. If I want to keep a job and field a competitive team, I'm going to have to play the same way everyone else is playing.
Right. And, you know, they will play the, by the rules until you can get the rules to change that are equal to everybody.
It's just the amount of stress that it adds. You know, coaching is a difficult task, and you're always recruiting. You're constantly working. I mean, trying to recruit players to your team. Now you are re-recruiting, and you're competing with the transfer portal and the grass is greener analogy. Like, you're that is something you're going to compete with now for as long as the system is allowed to run this way.
And, you know, there are extremes like Saban, who's been in college football for a while, and he's seen it change. Kiffin, who's, you know, he started coaching in the early, mid-2000s almost. So he's still, you know, he's kind of experienced in it. But then you see Prime, who is almost brand new to college football, and you see he walks into it, and this is how it is.
Right. And he's perfect for this.
Right.
This is what he's made for, because he's got a big-time name, very popular. He's not, like, Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban and those guys are popular because of their success in college football. Primetime is popular because of his, well, yeah, some success in college football, but he was popular well before the Jackson State situation came up. So,
well, it's not what these older coaches, it's not what they signed up for when they got into coaching at that time. That's not what it was.
Well, it's completely changed. And again, Lane Kiffin talking about, hey, it was originally supposed to be they're paid for their image and likeness, but now it's turning out to sales pitches and all that. And
because
again,
it was the video game. That's what
the video game
thing.
And Jeremy Bloom being a you know, an Olympic athlete, not being able to make endorsement money because he was a collegiate athlete. He had to make a decision there like that. That, like, to me, those are obvious things. That's why the NIL started. They should be able to make something off of their name, image, and likeness if you're going to use it to sell video games.
And name, image, and likeness is such a broad term in terms of negotiating. So I can put your name on a piece of paper, and that's...
Well, and you can't really say, well, we can only do it if you sign autographs and stuff. That means you can't really come out and say no businesses can sponsor these kids and do that kind of stuff, because then where's the money? So how does a college kid, you know, if he just signs autographs, great, but who's setting it up? Where is he doing it? No one's making anything off of that. And so college football is in a tough spot. There just should have been regulations on this 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And now you are scrambling, and it is absolute chaos now where in the transfer portal and NIL, I mean, both of those are kind of working together now because kids are entering the transfer portal because they get wind of some NIL dollars floating around. Guys will stick around a program longer if they hear that there's some NIL dollars floating around. I mean, that is the nature of this game, and I know that personally talking to some of these guys.
Well, a lot of it's not just individual players. It's, hey, you and your buddy or you and your offensive line roommate have been together for years and you want to go to the same school, and we can only go there if we go together because they're going to offer us a package deal or something. Like, it's stuff like that too.
All that stuff is happening. I mean, it just is. And
pointing it out is like wrong to do or something. Like, oh no, those kids should get their money. It's like, yes, but there needs to be a limit on it, because those kids that are making tons and tons of money are taking away that from the other kids that just want $50 to be in a video game.
Right. That's the tough part, is like this whole union against the video game. It should just be, do you want in or not? Here's $500. It shouldn't be, no, we're either all in or we're all out.
The NIL and the portal has benefits for specific players that are in, you know, the playing time thing, or they have one more year of eligibility and they need a year of film. That's what it's for. Not for, I'm a five-star recruit in high school, I've got 25 offers, I'm going to go to this school this year, this school the next year, and I'm going to make bank while doing it.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy situation. It's only getting crazier. Will they? I think that at some point, NCAA will come in and regulate this a little bit more. There's got to be. I don't know how to do it, though.
Because then you're telling businesses how much they can. You're telling businesses what they can do with their money.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Justin Michael from DNVR Rams tweeted this. Jay Norvell tells me that former Nevada quarterback Carson Strong is joining the CSU football staff as a volunteer coach this season.
Saw that.
Where was Carson? Did he get drafted? Did he not get drafted?
I think he got drafted. I think injuries kind of derailed his short NFL career. He drafted a few years ago.
It was only 2 years ago because Clay Millen. He signed as an undrafted free agent by the Eagles because he was the starting quarterback Jay Norvell's final year at Nevada, and he was actually having a really strong year. And then, of course, Clay Millen was the quarterback in waiting, ready to go. But I didn't know for sure if Carson Strong was going to make. We'd even talked about the potential of Strong landing on the Denver Broncos roster.
So he's got like biodegradable nails in his knee.
Ooh, so he's been
had
through it,
like major knee issues.
Well, he's doing it so he's going to be a volunteer coach there for CSU. That's a great thing. I love that story. Not the fact that he's had the injuries and everything, but
no. But I mean, if he wants to go into coaching, that's a good start. Working with Clay, obviously they have a relationship there. A guy that knows
Clay was
the
his backup,
air raid
right?
system, like he's got that.
That's huge for Clay Millen. Absolutely huge for him
because he could have gone to Nevada and coached. I'm sure.
Yeah, but he's a Norvell guy.
Oh.
Nevada's the enemy now. That could turn into another rivalry. Remember all the crap going on last year about the coach spouting off stuff about Jay Norvell and how he was actively recruiting guys out of CSU and all that, and the players came out and said, no, none of that happened. It's not true. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Can Jay Norvell turn it around? Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. The media poll has the Rams to finish 7th in the Mountain West Conference. Athlon Sports has the Rams finishing 9th, projecting a 5-7 record, just one win shy of getting into a bowl game. Now, if you look at the history for CSU or for Jay Norvell specifically, I mean, he's shown that he can turn a team around in a relatively quick time. You know, CSU was 3-9 last year. You know who was 3-9 in 2017? Nevada. That was Jay Norvell's first year there. The very next year, they went 8-5 and 5-3 in the conference, and they won the Arizona Bowl. So, can we expect that kind of a turnaround? 5 wins better? The year after that, in 2019, he was 7-6 with a 4-4 conference record. They lost in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. In 2020, they were 7-2, obviously a little bit of a shorter season. They were 6-2 in the conference. They won the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. They won that one. And then his last year with Nevada, 8-4, 5-3 in the conference, and they played in the Quick Lane. What was that, the Quick Lane Bowl? And then, this last year, 3-9 with CSU. So the trajectory shows us that he'll probably turn this thing around. In fact, with Athlon Sports, here's what they said, quote, from an opposing Mountain West assistant coach, and this is quoted in Athlon Sports, they're still in a heavy transition phase and will be really young, but it's a really smart staff, so play them early. They will be much better by the end of the year. Yeah, but I think that they could be competitive right out the gates. I'm not, you know, we keep landing on 6-7 wins, I think, or 8 wins or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a tough first game at home against Washington State, mm-hmm. but you get to start off at home, plenty of energy there. It's a clean slate. And week two, if you're not motivated for week two or week three, whichever it is, then you shouldn't be on the team.
We know Rams fans are motivated for that game, right? Win or lose.
Win or lose, they just want to hate CU.
Cool off this summer with our thanks to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll get those air conditioners running to top of the line performance. They'll make sure they're rolling. Free estimates are available too if you need to install something new. Maybe the other one went kaput. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. You can call them 970-567-0798. 12:47 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Brian Howell from the Buff Zone is going to join us from the Pac-12 media days. So some really interesting stuff to unpack from him, I'm sure. So we'll look forward to that conversation coming up in about 30 minutes or so. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You're probably at the point where that golf game, unless you're me, is starting to round out. You know, come into really good form this summer. Try out your skills over at the Eaton Country Club. I mean, this place is gorgeous, and I love it. It's relaxed, a great environment. Whether you're a stud golfer, or you're just a casual golfer that goes once in a while, or you're like me, you kind of get roped into it. I love going out there, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, the tournaments, we did the Prairie Dog Classic on Monday. They did a great job with it. It's just a lot of people. But I really love to get out and golf because when I suck, there's not like a tournament of people watching. It's a relaxing environment, man. It's just so much fun out there. And again, McCarty's Grill, perfect place to sit, take a break, relax. That's the Eaton Country Club. Check them out online at at eatoncc.net. That's eatoncc.net. The Weld County Swami says, I bet you'd want us to cheer for Nevada, too, if that becomes a rivalry. No, because why, Angel? What did we learn? I know
it's
not
directly impact you.
Doesn't directly impact your chances of winning your conference or whatever. You know, Nevada does. Nevada, if they win, if I'm rooting for them to win, then that means they're knocking you down. No, that's not. Come on. Logical brain. Pac-12, Mountain West. They're not in the same conference.
No, we live in a world where it's either or. It's you're on this side or one side. It's okay to just be a little bit in the middle.
Guys are just like,
or even to take a step back and look at it in a different perspective.
So many people are just worked up at this tweet. I mean, I see you don't really understand what it means to beat your hated rival. No, I get that.
Think if I posed this question to like Bama or Auburn fans, it'd be the same?
You should.
I should.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
I'd be curious to see what they say.
Conduct a case study.
I mean, I did not expect this thing to blow up like this. My friends from the Outlaws of Moby retweeted it or whatever. I get your logic here, Brady, but I think we'll be rooting for both TCU and Nebraska. Apparently, Trey McBride liked one of the responses against me, so that was exciting.
Making enemies, Brady.
where else? What else we got? CU continuing to suck will be much funnier than whatever boost we would get from beating a team who beat TCU. So,
okay,
do you hate?
There's a lot of hopeful. Yeah, I hope my rival's terrible. I hope. This, yeah. There's a lot of that. The reality is these teams are going to be playing a football game. CU is either going to be 1-1, 2-0, or 0-2. Obviously, it's important that CSU wins that game because it's a rivalry. Because it's CU, you want to beat them.
And you don't have a great recent history of winning a lot of rivalry games.
Beating them at 2-0 means it has more impact than beating them at 1-1 or even 0-2.
It sounds like from this tweeter, texter, whatever, CU continuing to suck will be much funnier than whatever boost we get from beating a team who beat TCU.
It's about how you take it when it comes to you.
So you're saying that seeing CU suck is actually more meaningful than seeing CSU win? Like, is that the
logic?
Don't
you want to be the ones that bring them that that loss?
Uh-huh.
You want that to be you.
You want to be the one they're talking about at the end of the season. Start growing your brand. Blow it up, man. Elevate your expectations. Brady, we just need to be focusing on winning a game. I don't think that secretly thinking that CU beating TCU is evaporating your focus to go out and try to win a game. I don't think that's affecting Jay Norvell's focus.
Is the CU football is their goal this season just to win one game?
CSU?
Mm-hmm.
It better not be.
It shouldn't have been last year.
It's to compete in the conference.
When I look at CSU, I see an up-and-coming program with Jay Norvell. I have confidence he's going to get that turned around into a, not powerhouse in the Mountain West, but a consistent competitor there.
Your goal should be like, bare minimum, we got to win six.
Winning the mentality of, we just want to win one game, that's you can't have that anymore. That has to change because guess what? CU is changing their mentality.
I asked this question a year ago or so. That if you got to pick either or. Would you rather win every game, save for your three rivalry games, but you're competing for a Mountain West title? Or would you rather lose every game, but you won your three rivalry games? And I'm telling you, man, I don't know. Their logic kind of won the day there, so more people were like, no, I'd rather be competing for. But there were a lot of votes for I would rather beat CU, Wyoming, and Air Force. If I could, if I had to pick between the two, I would take those three wins as opposed to the opposite, where we lost or where we won every game except for those three.
Right, and that's where you're silly. You're going to put yourself in that spot, and you're never going to leave it.
I would rather win the Mountain West Championship than beat CU, Wyoming, and Air Force. And I know I'm not like a diehard like a lot of our listeners, but I'm about winning it all.
Like
win it all.
Auburn's always going to be Bama's little brother, but even sometimes the little brother gets a jab in. And when he does, you're like, whoa, what did that guy just do? All right, I need to work harder to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, if you're Auburn, your sole focus in life shouldn't just to beat Alabama. It should be to be back to a really competitive football team.
And even when they have a terrible season, if they beat Bama, it's the highlight.
And I'm not discounting a rivalry. I love rivalries. I think conference realignment has destroyed that. I'm just saying the rivalry shouldn't be so much to the point where it's like that's the only thing that really matters is beating your rivalries. Everything else is secondary. I don't. If the Broncos win a Super Bowl and lose all, it would be really tough to do that, but they get smoked again by the Chiefs. I would take a Super Bowl win over beating the Chiefs in a regular season game. I mean, they could beat us the next 10 games. And if I could grab two Super Bowls out of those 2 years, give me the Super Bowls. That's what it's about. It's about winning at all costs at the highest of levels.
Imagine the best back and forth game between CU and CSU in 20 years, and you look back and say, what was their record? They were both 1-8.
No one's going to think that was an epic, like, oh, those were. Talk about the Kyle Bell days. Talk about the Bradley Van Pelt days. Like, those are days when CU was fielding some good teams, Joel Klatt and all that, and CSU was fielding some good teams. That's where the memories were, man. That was the time. Final hour of the program coming up. Brian Howell joins us to talk Pac-12 Media Days next.